Hello, everybody. It's so good to see you from the comfort of your home today. My name is Elliot, and my wife, who you met earlier in the video, my wife Tiffany and I have the great privilege of pastoring this group of people called Lifeline Church. Come on, everybody, type amen with me if you're ready to hear a great message today. We have a mission here at the church, and our mission is to lead people into becoming lifelong followers of Jesus. And our vision for doing that is to help people know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. That's what it's all about, is that God, he saves us, he fills us up, he gives us the encouragement we need, and ultimately we can make a difference in the lives of others. And that's where we find that true fulfillment. I'm so glad you're tuning in today. And I just believe something from the bottom of my heart. You're not here by accident. I don't know how you found this message today. Maybe this is your first time tuning in to a Lifeline message. Maybe it's your first time tuning in to any church message. I don't know, but I know this, that God himself has been preparing something for you, a message of hope, encouragement, and love that he wants to speak into your life today. I believe that you're not here at all by accident. Now, we started a series called Fearless in the beginning of March, and we planned on doing this series only through March, and we decided on that in December, before COVID-19 was a thing. Well, it was a thing, but regular people like me didn't know about it. And so we just figured, you know, we're going to do this series during March about stress and anxiety and just living a fearless life, but we had no idea how timely that was going to be. We just feel like God was in the planning for this series. And so we're going to keep it going. We're going to keep this series about anxiety and stress and getting free from all that. We're going to keep this going. And last week we talked about the Fearless Church. So that was a twofold message. It was a message for Christians in the church, but it was also a message for people on the outside of the church, people who aren't following Jesus or aren't, you know, a part of the church. I had something very special I wanted to share with you. And if you know someone like that, maybe you should go back on YouTube or Facebook and check that out. Share it with them. It came from a very real place in my heart. And so I hope that that gets to the right place. Go back and check it out if you missed it. Today's message, as we keep this series going, is called Fearless in the Storm. Come on, somebody, who feels like they're in a storm today with everything going on with viruses and people being upset on social media and all the noise and stuff going on? Come on, who wouldn't mind being free from this mess of a storm that it seems like we're in? Do you know, I think it's okay to be afraid sometimes, But what do you mean, Pastor? I thought this series was called Fearless. Yeah, it's called Fearless, but maybe it is okay to be afraid sometimes. Like, be afraid of what? Be afraid of who? When's the last time you were afraid in a good way? How do you know when being afraid is a good thing? Sometimes it's hard to know when fear is justified. But sometimes, I need to tell you, sometimes it is. There is a time when it is good. Here's the problem. I think we have fear when we shouldn't have fear, and we don't have fear in times that we should. What do you mean? Now, who's got cabin fever right now? Anybody else out there, cabin fever? Man, I've got the cabin fever right now. It is real. I know I got a smile on my face, but it's like this. I'm a little crazy in my head right now. That's why I'm smiling so much. Well, I do. And anybody on quarantine with kids ought to be going mental right now. I got to tell you something, honestly. So I got a 3- to 4-year-old, Evan and Emma. And, you know, some kids are a little bit tougher than others. My little boy, he's a bundle of joy. You know, he's lovely. I love him. But sometimes he acts out. And when we've been stuck inside for a couple weeks, you know, he's just a boy that needs to get his, he needs to run it off, you know, he needs to start feeling better somehow. And just today, he was feeling like he didn't want to listen. Like, he didn't want to do what mom said he needed to do. So you know what I had to do is I had to deliver some spankings. Uh-oh. Yeah, that's true. I spank. I'm a spanker. You know, if especially, there's only a couple things, you know, but if you disrespect mom and are mean to mom, oh, you getting it. I ain't going to say what he did because I want you all to believe that he is just the sweetest bundle of joy ever, and he is, but he was getting a little too sassy with mom, and dad had to step in and do the right thing. It was kind of sad. It's always sad. I hate doing it. I don't like doing it. But at the same time, if he were acting right, you know, I wouldn't have to do it. He wouldn't have anything to be afraid of if he were, you know, respecting mom. He wouldn't have any fear. Yes, I have to punish my kids occasionally, and it's a bummer that they need that. But them having a healthy fear of me will eventually save them when they get out to the real world, because the world will punish him with no love at all. And I'd rather him learn his lessons from me because I love him than him learn his lessons. Even though he was like, oh, dad. Yeah, there's a little bit of fear there, but let me tell you something. A little bit of fear of dad is, in the long run, could end up saving his life. And that's why I do it. That's why I step in. That's why it's really hard, but I don't want to do it, but as a father, I need to. Listen, we're all in a storm right now, a situation where maybe we're doing things that we're not acting right, or maybe people around you aren't acting right. Maybe just, you know, the whole world isn't acting right now. So what we need to know is, how can I be fearless in the storm? Well, it just so happens that there's a story in your Bible that describes this very situation I'm talking about. The story that I described to you about me and my son, and the story that all of us are in right now with everything we're dealing with. There's a story about all of that, and it's found in Mark 4, starting in verse 35. Let's read. It goes like this. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. Verse 37 says, "But soon a fierce storm," everybody say fierce storm, or type it, whatever, it's cool. "High waves," say high waves, "were breaking into the boat and began to fill," it began to fill with water. The boat began to fill. These were very real, tangible things. These were life-threatening, physical things that were happening to all the disciples and Jesus at this moment. Literal, physical dangers that were life-threatening. But verse 38 goes on to say this. Jesus was panicking. No, it doesn't say that. What does it say? It says he was sleeping? Come on, somebody. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. This is so weird to me. It's like, number one, how can you even sleep with all that commotion? I can't even sleep in a car. I can't sleep on an airplane. I can't even sleep in my own bed half the time. I'm waking up. But here Jesus is sleeping, and the boat's about to sink, everybody, and he's asleep. It's like, what is the... Someone give Jesus like some medication or something, because he ain't right. It's one thing to not be scared of a storm. It's another thing to be sleeping and restful in a storm. Come on, anybody out there getting any rest right now? Maybe you're stuck at home, but you're still not getting any rest. Come on, somebody, is it time to get some rest during the storm right now? Let's keep talking about this. It goes on to say this. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher," now this is what they said, "don't you care?" Now, there's a statement that we can relate with. Don't you care? Jesus, do you even see what we're dealing with? God, hello, do you even see what the world is going through? God, can you see all my struggles? Can you see my bank account right now? Can you see my situation right now? Can you see my wife right now? Can you see my kids right now? This is incredible. God, you are not paying attention.
He must not be paying. They said, don't you care that we're going to drown? Now, don't lie to me, YouTube and Facebook and everybody watching everywhere. Don't lie to me. Sometimes it seems like he can't see all the struggles you're going through. Or if he can see them, he doesn't care because he's not doing anything. You don't have to lie to me. Hey, let's all just be real. Sometimes it feels that way. The Bible goes on to say this. When Jesus woke up, because they woke him up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, Why are you afraid? Oh, I don't know. We're going to die. Do you still have no faith? Okay. It's implied here by Jesus that there was never a reason to fear, to stress, or to be anxious. That if we have any faith at all, storms, waves, and rising water is not a reason for alarm. All the disciples were reminded of is their need for faith, and they were comforted, right? No. The next verse says this. The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and the waves obey him. They remained terrified. They remained scared. But the object, here we go. The object of their fear shifted from being afraid of a storm to being afraid of someone who was having power over the storm. And for that fear, he did not rebuke them. He did not tell them they were wrong for that. Listen, everybody, to be fearless in a storm, we need to stand with the one who controls the weather. I'm gonna say that slower. To be fearless in a storm, we need to stand with the one who controls the weather. And I put it like this, write this down somewhere. Fear of God leads to fear in nothing else. Fear of God leads to fear in nothing else. So we're talking about being fearless in a storm. So how did the disciples remove their fear of the storm? They gained fear in God. Fear of God is not a bad thing. Fear of God is in fact a very good thing, a very healthy thing. And in fact, the thing that is gonna make us fearless. Because if we fear God, we have nothing else to fear. If we fear God, we don't need to fear anything else. The only fear we should have is of God. And we should have that fear. We really should. I got an illustration about this that is actually really close to home. My father, a good man, is to this day a good man, still giving me wise advice. And even though we weren't raised in a Christian home per se, you know, he didn't take us to church or anything, and you know, he did a good job with me. He did a good job. He was both strong and wise. And you know, one time we were in this gift shop at the mall over there in Yuba City, and I was pushing buttons. I was young, and I was pushing buttons on this card maker, and I was, you know, filling the gaps. It was like an ad lib for cards, and I was just pushing buttons, and then I pushed okay. And I didn't realize that it actually printed out the card for you, and you couldn't leave the store without paying for it. And I actually printed out like a $10 card because I was just fooling around. My dad, what should I say about, he's a big strong man. He is a big strong man, and he didn't have to lay a finger on me. He just looked at me, and I was, oh, I'm sorry. And I had a fear of my dad. I was afraid of my dad, but it was in a healthy way. Like, I knew that what my dad said that he was going to do, and he had the strength to correct injustices.
Sound like anybody we know? Sounds like God. My picture of God coming into the faith after I got saved later as an adult, it was not a hard stretch for me to make that leap and say, okay, God is in control. He is strong, but also wise. And also he understands things that I don't understand. And so when he tells me to do something, even though I don't understand it, there is a healthy fear and respect for my Father where I say, you know what? And you know what else? When I'm with him, there's not much else I'm afraid of, if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, my dad's a little scary, and I think dads should be that way. I think fathers should be, not gruff or mean. Do I look gruff or mean to anybody? You know, but my son, he looks at me like, okay, dad means business. And I do, because I want him to learn. I want him to know. I want him to be secure. I don't want him to go out into the world and be unaware of what consequences are, what they mean. That's my job as a father, and that's God's job as our father, is to teach us what's true and what's right, correct us when we're wrong. A fear of God will lead to a fear of nothing else. So in the Jones house, if you disrespect mom, here, I'm talking about this Jones house, in the Jones home, if you disrespect mom, That's it. You're going to get it. You're going to get it. You know right now that is never, ever going to be okay. And it's a done dada, right? I just went there. I just said that. That's right. Because because if you respect your mom and you do the other things that I'm showing you is right, you have nothing else to fear. So just fear me for now. Tomorrow brings its own worries. Today, I want you to listen to my voice, son. That's what I try and teach my son. And listen, my kids aren't afraid of a wooden spoon. They're afraid of dad bringing justice and correcting injustices. They're not afraid of that inanimate object. They do have fear of, okay, if I do what I know is wrong, my dad is going to do something about it. And it's like the old saying, you know, guns don't kill people, people kill people. Well, I happen to believe that statement. No, this is not a political rant. You should know that I do not use this pulpit to talk politics whatsoever. I like to stick to spiritual matters. Thank you. I think that's if we get the spiritual part right, everything else will get taken care of. And so no, don't misread me on this, but guns don't kill people, people kill people. A brick can both build a church and smash the window out of a church. The object in and of itself is neither good nor bad. Is it in the hand of a person who loves you, or is it in the hand of a person who does not? So don't be afraid of a storm. Stand with the one who has power over the storm. And I actually have a friend here who's going to show us a little something about what I mean. Okay, studio magic, and now I am here with my friend Jay, and he's brought a little something with him. Why don't you tell us, what's the name of this thing right here?
This is an LWRCI AR-15.
I'm going to have to take your word on that. Now, I own a gun at home, but I don't really, I've never even used it. It was a gift. I never really took it out. So I'm not really too familiar with guns, but would you say you kind of know how to use this thing pretty well?
Definitely.
Okay, so Jay, before we go any further, can we just thank this guy for coming out? Come on. I'm used to people clapping in here, but can you just like type thank you for coming and thank you for your service in the military and thank you for bringing in what you got, Liberty Guns and Ammo. Shameless plug right there. He didn't even ask for it. How do you like that? Classy guy. But I was wondering if you would, for us, just display a little bit of your mastery over this weapon by just taking it apart and maybe kind of describing how it's coming apart while it's coming apart. Can you do that?
Sure can. All right. Go. No problem. I'm sitting the bolt forward and dropping the hammer at this point. I am going to go ahead and drop the rear pin and take out the bolt firing group and charging handle at this point. And that is the operating rod. And now I'm going to take the upper receiver off the lower receiver and drop the magazine. And the weapon is now essentially apart.
Now it is essentially a part. So now I could barely tell this is a gun. Now would you do us a quick favor and just put it right back together so that it's something that we can kind of recognize here.
Charging handle back in.
Charging handle back in.
Bolt carrier group.
Bolt carrier group. Okay. Receiver on the lower receiver.
A function check at this point. Magazine inserted. And we now have a fully functioning weapon again.
Fully functioning weapon again. Can we actually hold this thing up to this camera? Hey, can you hold that, put that right there? Oh, put it just right up there to that camera. Can you, I hope we can see what that says right there. Oh, hold on, I'm going to read it out loud in case you can't. What does it say?
It's
Psalm 144, it says, "Blessed be God, my rock, who trains my hands for war and fingers for battle." I can't think of much more appropriate scripture for this thing, but this is what I want to tell you, everybody, and this is what Jay came down to help us kind of see. This gun is your storm. I know it looks a little scary at first. Go ahead and hold that up, man. Let's take a look at this thing. I know it looks nice and close. It's okay. You see how I'm not even scared? It's right there, because this thing is no more dangerous than this is in the right hands. Now, Jay's my friend here, you know, so I'm not more scared when Jay has a firearm with him. I'm actually less scared, because it all has to do with my relationship with the one who's in control of the storm. Remember, this is a storm. It's dangerous. It's scary. The waves are high. The water's coming in. There's fear there. But if our relationship is good, can I get an amen? Then we're doing good. Now, before Jay got saved, you can't see past that beard. There was a little smirk there. Maybe something to worry about, okay? But now that we're serving Jesus, man, the storm is nothing to worry about, because the relationship. This is what I want to tell you, everybody. This is your storm, and I want you to stand with the one who's in control of the storm, with the one who has mastery over the storm, with the one that could take your storm apart and put it right back together at his will, because he's in control. And God is your perfect father. He is not like Jay or me. He is a perfect father, the one who is in complete control. And so we have nothing to fear, because no storm can control what my destiny is. No gun, no bullet, isn't that right, Jay? No gun, no bullet can tell me if I'm going to heaven or hell, or if my soul is right, because I don't need to be this thing can't tell me. My relationship with the one who's in control, my relationship with God, is what determines whether I go to heaven or hell. So I'm only concerned with, how am I doing with the one who's in control of the storm? So I got just a few things that we can do so that we can stay with the fear of God in our heart, but not be afraid of any storm. So I have just four ways that I want us to be fearless in the storm, ways that we can be fearless in the storm and display a fear of God and no fear of anything else, because we're standing with God, the one who's in control. And number one is this: fear God, respect authority. That's right. Fear God and respect authority. Your relationship and attitude with your governing authorities is a direct correlation with your relationship and attitude toward God. That's right. What you say and how you feel and your attitude towards your political leaders, your spiritual leaders, the leaders in your home, your mom and dad, that is a visible way for people to see how you're doing with God. I've got a scripture for you, okay? It's Romans 13. You should remember this. Romans 13 talks about this heavy, and it's so good. So good. It says this: everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. It's basically saying, man, there is nothing there that God didn't put there. So it's maybe to teach you something. It's maybe to teach us patience or kindness or endurance. And let me just tell you,
the year that this was written, there was governing authorities in power that we have no right to complain. No matter what side you land on, it was bad, real bad. This was written in times where people were getting killed, people were oppressed, Christians were oppressed hard. I mean, just don't even get me started. I don't even want to get started on that because I'll start preaching a whole message about that in and of itself. This is for us. This passage is for us. If you think that just mouthing off to the Democrats or Republicans and you think you're just mouthing off to your mom or dad or you're mouthing off to some spiritual leader you don't agree with, you're actually giving God the finger. Oh, dang, he just went there. Because that's authority that God has put in place. And you're basically telling God, you don't know what you're doing. No, I know what I'm doing, so I'm going to go ahead and disrespect them. I'm going to go ahead and dishonor them. I'm going to have a sour attitude. I'm not going to listen to the authorities. I'm not going to do what they say to do because I know better. God, who puts people in authority, he doesn't know. You see what I'm saying? So our relationship with the people who are in authority actually shows our relationship with the one who's in authority. Man, that's why on my personal Facebook, on my personal Instagram, and from this point, you will never hear me. I'm never going to bash any president, not ever. I'm never going to bash any leader, not ever. Not even when Jesus was slapped, not even when Paul was slapped by the spiritual leader, he did not come back with disrespect, only respect. Why? Because I'm scared of God. Because I fear God. God put them in authority, and I'm not going to go there. All right, okay. God has control of this storm. It's not my job to calm the waves. It's not my job to stop the wind. No, my job is to stand with the one who is in control. That's my responsibility. I don't need to be afraid of anything else. That's why on my personal stuff, you will never see that from me. And if you do see that, slap me upside the head. Why don't you? Because we shouldn't be doing that. Not as believers anyways. Believers should not be acting that way. That is my own personal opinion. You know, like I said, I wasn't raised in a Christian home per se, but my dad was a Rush Limbaugh listening to Republican. I tell you what, but let me tell you what I never heard. He was never cussing at those Democrats. He would never do that. My dad, he's an awesome guy, and he taught me a lot of good things. Things that, man, they're right here. They're right here. I learned them later in the Bible, but my dad taught me some things that just because he had an opinion didn't mean he had to bash everyone else's. Thank you, Dad, for that. I really do appreciate it. Because, well, you know, and I debated on whether I even wanted to share this because I know that many of you don't share that with me, that I know most people don't have that in their father, that it's actually kind of rare for fathers to be that way. And I'm not trying to, you know, generate a whole bunch of comments and talks, because treating your father well and even speaking well of him no matter what he did is exactly what I'm talking about here. And so in the feed, I don't want to, you know, let's all always show honor, especially if your dad wasn't that way. Don't speak that way, because that's only going to come back on you spiritually. So don't do that. And I debated on whether I wanted to share this, because I know many of you didn't have that growing up, but even if you didn't, I want you to know that fear in and respect for God's authority is never misplaced. Never misplaced. And maybe your earthly father taught you that. Maybe he didn't. But whether he did or didn't, I want you to know that God is a father that is unlike any other here on earth. Unlike any other. He's not like mine. Okay? My dad's not perfect. I'm not a perfect father. Nobody's father is a perfect father. There's only one perfect father, and that is God. And standing with him will cause us to live fearlessly. Number two is this: fear God, not man. Fear God and not man, as in mankind. Fear of people, what they can do to you, what they think of you. That kind of thinking has been around since the beginning of time, and it's not going away anytime soon. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 10. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body, but can't touch your soul. Fear only God. Come on, say it with me. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Man, there's only one place our fear belongs, and that's in God. Don't be afraid of what people think of you. If you feel like wearing one of those silly face masks, man, then go and get you a silly face mask and wear the heck out of it. Man, if you want to wear sweatpants at Walmart, man, you go. Get down with your bad self. I ain't judging. Well, try not to. You do you, okay? If you want to be Mr. Productive, Mr. and Mrs. Productive, and do a million projects and start a garden and do your own workout channel, man, just don't worry about what people think. This is a fear that we don't need to have right now, okay? Fear God. What is he thinking about what I'm doing? Not what does everyone in my feed think I'm doing. Not what does everybody on social media think I'm doing. Not what does my family think I'm doing. Hey, I'm not saying don't care about them. I'm saying don't use that as the barometer of what I should or should not be doing. Don't fear man, fear God. Don't fear man, fear God. Being worried about what people think of you will never help you. But concerning yourself with what God thinks of you will always lead to the right place. Fear God, not man. Come on, somebody. That's a good place to type. Preach it. Preach it in that Tommy Bahama shirt. Come on, you go. Let's do this. Number three is this. Fear God, not poverty. Fear God, not poverty. I'm not blind. I see what's going on out there. A lot of people stressing. I get it. Now I'm no different than anybody else, man. Everything is out there for us to see with the finances and everything going on. But listen, God is your supplier. Period. Always has been, always will be. Whether you recognize it or not, he is. He's your supplier. Don't fear what you do or don't have, what you might have or what you want to have. Fear the one who gives and takes away. Again, it's not fear of the storm. It's standing with the one who's in control of the storm. Common theme. Put your finances in the care of God and the outcome will be up to him. Listen to this in Malachi 3:10. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do so, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. And then he says this, put me to the test. Step out on the water. Put me to the test. This is one of the only places in your entire Bible where it says, I dare you. I dare you to trust me with your finances. See that I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven and make it rain. God is, he makes it rain. He basically said, I'm a floodgates. He's going to flood. He's going to make it rain. But we don't give to get. We give to give. Because that's the heart of it. Listen, are you struggling financially? I'm willing to bet that at least half of you are. If you're struggling financially, or maybe you're just worried if you might be pretty soon. We're still a little early in all this. May I offer a suggestion from the Word of God today? Make it a priority to give to God financially. Consistently. Let him prove himself true. Now, there is a promise associated with that 10% number that bring the whole tithe. It's a Hebrew word, maaser. You know, it's a tenth part. It's 10%. It's there, that's a specific amount. But what I want to point out today is that it's a percentage. And so I'm gonna take a little leap here and talk about things I don't normally talk about because it's a crazy time. The Word of God never changes, and that's why I want to say that there is a promise associated with 10%, period. But I'm gonna take a leap because I'll bet many of you have, maybe you've never tried that before. Maybe you've never given before to a church. through a church. As we say, we give through a church, because when you give to a church, that those funds get distributed all the way out and give to all different kinds of places. So you're actually giving to the places that need it most through your local church. So that's why we say it that way. Maybe you've never given before, and you've certainly never given a percentage. Here's my advice. Become a percentage giver. If not 10%, I would encourage you to try a different percent, maybe a lower one. Now, hear me out. I can't promise anything. There is a promise associated with 10. Like, God's going to bless you. God is going to take care of you at 10%. But I think there's something to be said about a growing faith, especially if you've never even stepped at maybe 5%, 3%, and just say, you know what? It's going to be a percentage. It's a small percentage, but I'm going to stick to it. And no matter what happens with my finances, that percentage I'm going to stick with until I see God move. And I believe, and this is my personal thing, because this is not in the Bible somewhere. The Bible talks about 10%. So I'm, disclaimer, okay? This is me as a pastor of this church saying, you know what? Take a step. Just take one step towards God and trust him with your finances and see that he's not faithful. I've been through so much financially since I got saved. Man, I just stick around. I'll tell you the stories, but I can make no promises about anything less than 10, but I would just encourage you, try something and see that God doesn't show up. And if he does, go the rest of the way. He's trying to tell you, you can trust me. You can trust me. If you would just start somewhere, and that's all I got to say about that. Number four is this. Fear God, not sickness. Fear God, not sickness. Your eternity is in his hands. No sickness determines your eternal destination. When you choose Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there is nothing this world can ever do to you. 2 Chronicles 7:14. In fact, there's a movement going on right now called Unite 714, and it's based on this scripture right here. You can Google that, Unite 714, and really see how all the churches across the world are coming together to pray. It's an amazing thing. But I want to teach you from this passage today, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Then if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will, come on somebody, restore their land. Come on, we want our land to be restored. God, we need you right now. God, we need you right now. And we're humbling ourselves here before you today. God, if there's anything that I wasn't right, God, my fear is in you alone. I only fear this one thing. Am I standing right with you? Am I right with you? Everything else will fall into place, but am I right with you? I'm not trying to fix anyone's problems today. I'm trying to lead you back to the one who fixes everyone's problems ever since the beginning of time. I'm not trying to fix anyone's problems today. I'm trying to lead you back to the one who fixes all problems. That one is God. Our responsibility is simple. If we want things to get better, we seek God, pray, repent, and he takes care of the rest. To be fearless in a storm, stand with the one who controls the weather. Fear of God leads to fear in nothing else. If we will humble ourselves and pray, God will give us peace in every storm, and we will fear nothing, including death, knowing our eternity is secure. No matter what comes in our life, our destination is found only in Jesus. So there's only one person I'm concerned with. How am I doing with you, God? There was a time before I got saved, and I bring it up a little bit every week, so bear with me, but I was not always saved. I was not born saved, and I was actually quite the drug addict and criminal. And there was a one night where someone who was a friend to me had done too much drugs, and they flipped out. And it just so happened that they had a gun. And
One thing led to another, and I found myself locked in a room with a few guys, me, and a gun against my head, and someone on the other end of that gun who was not like my friend here, my friend Jay, who this other guy was twitching, and I wasn't sure if I was going to make it through the night. I wasn't sure if I was going to live. And you know what? I was thinking about that story. So for some reason, God brought that instance, you know, out in me. And I think a lot of us feel that way right now. We feel trapped. We feel trapped by our circumstance. And the storm is the gun. And we feel like, and this storm is up against my head, and I don't know if I'm going to make it out. I don't know. I feel so trapped. And we certainly don't trust the person on the other side of that gun. Maybe that's how you feel. Like, who is this person? I don't even know. Who's in control? If God loved me, then why is he letting this happen? I'm not sure what's going to happen. I don't know, and there's uncertainty there. I was 19 years old when this happened. And I thought my life was going to end that night. I was very scared. I had no control of the situation. And I felt like there was nothing I could do. So I surrendered. And I said, okay. Okay. Whatever you say, whatever you want to do. I'm here before you. I lived. Some of you feel this way. You feel helpless, scared, having no control of your situation. But can I surprise you with something? You've never had control, not once in your life. You've never been in control. We've never been in control. And the fact that you are aware of your need for something outside of yourself right now is actually a very good thing. Because a lot of our eyes right now are being opened to, okay, this storm is something I can't control. Maybe I ought to think about the one who created the heavens and earth, the one who's in control of every storm. Your solution right now is the same as mine was back then. It's to surrender. Coming to God and saying, all right, this storm is too much for me. I can't deal with this on my own. Please help. That's something God can work with. This storm is not too much for him. But you need to hand it over. And that means letting go of your fear of the storm and holding on to God in the midst of the storm. Right now, I'll bet many of you are very stressed out, scared, worried, not sure what tomorrow's going to hold. But can I just tell you? Our God in heaven, he is a loving Father. He's not a loose cannon. He's not unpredictable. He loves you. And throughout his word, when we seek him, we find him. So my offer to you is this. If any of you are looking for something stronger than yourself, bigger than yourself, something that's bigger than all of this, I would invite you to come home to God right now as we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you today. And I know that many of us are ready to take this step of faith. So right there where you're sitting, whether you're alone or with a group of people, I would ask you to just bow your heads and close your eyes and repeat this prayer with me. Say, Father God, thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for my sins. Fill me with your spirit, your goodness and your love. Show me the way to go. I cannot control this storm. I never could.
but you can, and you always could. So I'm coming home to you. Thank you for welcoming me back home. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, somebody. Can we celebrate all those that gave their life to Jesus today? I know that there are so many of you that are watching this right now that are just making that decision. And so I'm so grateful for you. Let me pray a blessing over you before we conclude this service. Right where you're sitting, if you would just hold your hands out in front of you like this to receive a blessing. Father, I pray blessing over every single person listening right now. I pray blessing over their finances. I pray blessing over their health and over all of their relationships. And I pray in the name of Jesus, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine on you, smile at you, and be gracious to you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody, say amen with me. God bless you, and we will see you again very soon.